Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is
WGN Television 9.
Channel 9.
Channel 9, Chicago.
Chicago.
Coming to you from atop the John Hancock Building.
WGN.
From WGN-TV in Chicago, welcome to the world's greatest newspaper television podcast. I'm Brian Say.
And I'm Ross Mackbee. If you're a first-time listener, you can catch all the episodes of this amazing podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. So subscribe, download, listen, and repeat.
That's right. On today's episode, Ricky Martin doesn't know what he's missing. She's a native of Puerto Rico and the around-town reporter for the WGN Morning News. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ana Bellavaugh!
Woo!
Wepa! Wepa!
Oh my God, Ross, I'm so proud of you.
All right, we have a first question, but before we ask it, Brian and I want to surprise you with a little something. Ready, Brian?
Yep.
One, two, three. Upside inside out, living la vida loca. I don't know the rest of the words.
Me
she'll push and pull you down, living la vida loca.
You printed them all.
Living la vida loca.
Come on!
Peaking.
Oh,
that's
see,
all peeking.
I closed my eyes and it was like he was here.
That circles around to our first question. Yep. Has Ricky Martin rescinded his restraining order against
nope.
you? No.
Oh.
Interesting.
And the funny thing is that, as I've told you before, I have a few friends that know him. I know a couple of people that work in his foundation and nothing.
No. Oh.
He found it cute, but that's it.
Okay.
But he's about to drop a new album and he has to tour.
Is it called Ana?
Ana Ana Vida.
Ana Vida.
No. But he's going to have to stop in Chicago eventually.
Yeah.
Right.
Just saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a great moment, by the way.
It was. Yeah. One of my favorite moments ever. Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that. We really want to dive deep on that. But all joking aside, let's start at the beginning. You knew at a young age that you wanted to be a broadcast journalist. You were 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
You interned at your local TV station in Puerto Rico for 3 summers, unpaid.
Yep.
So you clearly have grit. Tell us what sparked...
And don't like making money.
Sure, right, clearly. What sparked your dreams from such a young age?
I liked storytelling and performance. And I went, for some reason, I don't know why, I had to do a book report on some career that I would like to follow. And I interviewed the news director for that local station, WAPA, WAPA Televisión in Puerto Rico. And I was fascinated by the newsroom. I loved the adrenaline. I loved how people worked together and yelled at each other. And I just thought it was so great. And I loved the idea that I could be a performer and tell stories and also make a difference. So that's what called my attention very quickly. I had been in theater and dance since I was 8 by the time I was 15. So I knew that I wanted to do something in the arts, but I've never had the confidence to audition for anything. I take it very personal. And I also like writing and telling stories. So I thought, well, this is a good balance because you go to journalism school and then you get a job as a reporter. And so I saw a better path than, well, now you go and, you know, go hungry in New York and audition and have people tell you you're ugly, you have an accent, you have, which I thought, but they told me that at Univision anyway. But, but that's what attracted me early on.
The resume tape that was submitted on your behalf here at WGN was in Spanish, and you still got the job. Should I be building a resume tape in Spanish?
Whatever works, Brian.
Yeah.
I had a college professor who I did not like at American University in Washington, D.C., who taught broadcast journalism, too. We called it BJ2. And
interesting.
I don't know. College students calling it that very
feels like journalism. There's a subtext.
Right.
I don't see anything.
So she was... Listen to this. The agriculture correspondent in DC for some kind of agriculture show that I don't know where it broadcasts from, but she was the DC correspondent for the agriculture show. I like to call her the manure report, but because she wasn't really nice, but she gave us a good piece of advice towards the end of our senior year. She said, you know, pick what makes you stand out. And if what makes you stand out, your talent is that you speak Spanish, then go with that. And I was so offended because I was like, my English is flawless. What is this woman talking about?
Right.
I'm going to be the next Katie Couric. And then I realized there were a ton of people like me going for the same jobs who didn't have an accent. And I noticed a lot of my friends from Rhode Island, Connecticut, I went to school in the East Coast, DC, were not pursuing their jobs because they were going to be paid very little.
Mm.
So I went back home and I thought, I'm going to get a job at WAPA. And they didn't have a job for me because there was a union system and I was at the bottom of the totem pole, right? Yep. So I would have to wait for a long time. And I really, really wanted to be a reporter on camera as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So that's why I decided to pursue a career in Spanish. And I had a demo tape in Spanish already because my senior year in college, I was a correspondent for Univision in DC for this show, like A Current Affair.
Yeah.
But it was called Primer Impacto.
Oh.
My first story was about a Santa Claus that was beaten up for singing Feliz Navidad outside a restaurant in DC. So I had a professional tape. And so I sent that to Univision in Chicago and they offered me the job. So Spanish has always gotten me the career of my dreams. And I have fought it because I'm like, my point is that I could be successful in English. And I have been successful in English. But ironically, it was the Spanish demo tape that got me the job.
Yeah.
So at WGN, you've been going around town for like almost 15 years.
Yep.
Haven't you been everywhere by now?
You'd think, right?
What's left?
I don't know. It's strange. It's starting to get repetitive, but it starts to get repetitive with a lot of stories for a lot of us, right? Because we're local news.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're covering national breaking news, and we do it every day.
Yeah.
But I think every producer has brought something different to the table. Mm-hmm. And so Terry Barthel and I started working together when I first got here. And we kind of built how Around Town was going to be from then on. And then Tom Barnes came in, and he is Mr. Chicago. So we did a lot of other things that had to do with Chicago. And then now Natalie Skrid is our producer, and she's a different generation than I am.
Right.
So she's going for things that she isn't interested in, you know. And so those people revive the segment more than I probably do. And we still find things. I'm like, I hadn't been here. The difficult part is making a good TV and make other people interested in like a landmark in Schaumburg no one knew about.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, so it comes down, I mean, I feel like a lot of times the people you find just talking to people and them talking to you.
That's my favorite.
Right.
Regular people. I don't think I could do what Dean does because I get bored of asking celebrities questions. I mean, like, no offense, it gets to a point where it's like, oh, okay, so now what?
Who's the biggest person you've talked to? You're acting
Ricky
like
Martin.
Of course. I'm so
and
sorry.
And I screwed that up.
Oh, I think that was
wonderful. I've spoken to Antonio Banderas and Jimmy Smith. And
Ricky Martin.
I didn't. No, I didn't. Well, when I spoke to him, did you notice that when I spoke to him, I was very professional?
Oh, yeah.
Stay at my parents' house, Ricky. I know you have a house there. You're like family to us. Yeah.
And I knew he couldn't see me. And
right.
And then when I had that breakdown that you all laughed at.
I'll call 911, Ricky. Don't worry.
No, I love what I'm hearing. I love it.
He can still hear you.
He's still there.
It's all right, Anna.
Please, I don't want to be involved in another American crime story.
I didn't know he could see me. I was under the impression he couldn't hear me. I knew he couldn't see me. Mm-hmm. That's why he thought there was something wrong with me, which clearly there wasn't.
Right. Well,
back to Around Town. Can you kind of take listeners through what your day-to-day is when you get, what time you have to get in, what does all go into an Around Town?
I don't like to reveal that because you all get really mad at the fact that the Around Town crew sleeps in more than all
around,
of you do. Yeah. So I have the benefit of being able to drive to the location. Mm. So my 11-year-old CRV has been everywhere.
Mm.
And I have been everywhere. And for a girl from the island to be in the middle of like the Midwest surrounded by corn is at the beginning when the GPS was kind of scary.
Right.
I drive to a location. We're there around 6:30, 6:45, and we're there until 10 in the morning. And we do 7 hits of live TV on WGN Morning News. And we show people all sorts of very dynamic, versatile things that you can do in the city. You can people are doing with their lives. So it's cultural, but it's also featurey. It's it could be sports. It could be anything.
Right. A lot of dancing by Anna. Random dancing.
That's the thing. Random dancing.
Most of your hits end with dancing.
As they
pretty
should.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They sound like you're upset about that.
No, no.
Yeah, why are you mad?
No, it always ends at 7 a.m. on a high note.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Ross. Yeah. Rob.
You did a TEDx talk a few years ago. The title of the title of it was My Plan B Made My Dream, and I thought it was going to be some kind of pro-choice talk. it didn't end up being anything about that.
Uh-huh.
But during the talk, you said you took accent reduction classes early on in your career.
You are shocked.
And I can still barely understand what the hell you're saying. So I'm just wondering, what's the refund policy?
And he says it's during Hispanic Heritage Month. Nick, nene, no, seriously.
The muchacho,
that's
kidding.
Why he's single.
No. Low blow. Yeah, shots fired.
Ow. Yes, I did take them. It's okay, Brian. I love you. I still love you.
Okay.
I did take accent reduction classes because I had an agent who said my Spanish accent would be a problem to get into American TV,
sure,
into English television. And turns out that when I was hired here, I told Robin about my accent, and she's like, "What accent? Have you heard me talk?" She's like, "I have a thick Southside accent."
Mm-hmm.
When Larry goes to Boston, he comes back with his thick accent.
Right.
And I thought, this is the place for me.
Right.
You know, because I have a big hang up over my accent. That is, like, you guys don't know that, but that I Natalie found out the hard way because she laughs every time I mispronounce something, and I get upset.
Right.
Because that's my hang up, right?
Right.
Because we West people who speak another language in this country, many times people make fun of the way we talk. And so we try very hard to pronounce things right,
mm-hmm,
because for some reason we are meant to feel, or we feel, that you're ridiculing us or you're making us feel like we sound dumb, right?
Right.
You don't do that to British people because they could say the most inappropriate thing, but they're British and they sound interesting.
Right. Yeah.
But I could give you a dissertation on genetics and you'll be like, oh, she sounds like the lady that cleans my house, right? Or like, she should be serving tacos.
Well, I don't think that's...
But that's my own hang-up, Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I grew up thinking.
There's a national park. It starts with a Y. Y-O-S-E-M-I-T-E. Could you pronounce that word for us?
Well, see? But wait, let me think.
You're doing it right now.
Yosemite.
That's correct. But how did you say it when you first read?
Yosemite. I'm not laughing at you.
When you sound it out and you don't know
how you've never seen it before. But then Natalie gets to explain to me, I'm not laughing at you. I think it's cute.
Right, it's charming.
Right,
but I'm a grown-ass woman. I don't want you to call me cute.
Sure.
I speak two languages.
Right,
exactly.
That's
so
right.
So it was Tomasulo who was like, you have to get over it because you speak two languages. The people
right.
who are making fun of you mostly speak one.
Yeah, exactly. I just speak the one.
So, but it is a big hang up. So for me, I worked hard to kind of neutralize that accent issue.
Yeah.
But ironically, it's made me who I am now. You know, people expect me to tell stories the way I know how to tell them and with my voice and my intonation.
Right.
Yeah. Although I don't hear an accent, if you ask me.
I don't. Yosemite. Nailed it.
I also can't say that sealant thing that you put around the tub. And
oh no. It's spelled C A L K.
There's an L in it.
Or a U. Remember. I think there's a U. C A U L K.
Yeah, there's an
Could
L.
Could you try it first?
There's an L.
Come on.
You got to get that.
You can
L.
do it.
Wait. Cock. It's better if I say cult with the
L. Right. You got to get the L in. Right. That's what I'm saying.
No,
yeah.
Can't say
Just
it.
To be
I can't. So I text our handyman, and I'm like, I need sealant for the laptop. And we've decided
Technical.
I
That's
just
good.
Don't
right.
use it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I had to do a segment saying it.
You want to be clear about what it is that you
over
want.
Over the phone, at one point, you're just yelling a C word.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, so yeah. What did I say? Yosemite.
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 Yeah.
But think about it.
Sounds sexier that way. It should be called Yosemite.
It does, yeah.
Thank
That's
you.
What
like
I'm saying.
It.
I don't know.
Snoopy.
I totally understand.
Larry likes when I say Snoopy because of the double O.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Snoopy. Oh. On TV.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
All right. Anyway, so you came to us from Univision. You worked your way up to a national correspondent there. And you lived in New York City, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but now you're on the Rinky Dick WGN Morning News. Do you ever wish you'd stayed on Spanish language television?
No.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Why not? You're happy here.
I'm very happy here. Yeah. I was happy at Univision. That was like my master's degree. Mm. You know, people who study journalism not necessarily need a master's and a PhD. So that was my master's degree. And the reason why I'm successful here is because I was able to work at that morning show that I worked there. I loved working there, but I feel like I have more flexibility here. I can cover more topics. I didn't want to be the Hispanic girl who always covers Little Village, Pilsen, you know, the Hispanic right. topics. I wanted right. to show people that, you know, we have more in common than what is different. And when yeah. you are a member of a minority, you realize that you're representing yourself, your family, and your people. And so I wanted to prove that. I wanted to move on from being, oh, that's that Latin girl they hired, to, oh, that's Anna from around town. And so, and she just happens to be Puerto Rican. And oh, look, right. they're awesome people who are also U.S. citizens. Right. I'm really woke today, Brian. I'm
right.
sorry.
You are.
Well, we touched on this too. Like, and you talked about people, talking to people is the biggest thing you love yeah. about the job. What's it like experience Chicago just from all those different locations?
Oh, it's awesome. It's the reason I love this city. You know, I think this city is super, for segregated as it is super open-minded and kind of doesn't show that off with theater, with art, with taking chances in business.
Right.
We try things that other places won't try and we give it a chance. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, sure, I'll go watch that show in a storefront theater that used to be a church kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
And so we give opportunities. You can open a Korean restaurant in the middle of Pilsen and we'll try it out.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that I love about this town. And the fact that we are, they remind me of Puerto Rico a lot because people in Chicago, I find them that they are very, the word in Spanish is cariñoso, which means they're comforting, they're nice, they're nurturing. When you first get here, they want to show you the city. They have a city mm-hmm. pride that no one else does. For as much as we can complain about everything that goes wrong here, mm-hmm. we don't want you to insult it. It's like our family member. We can talk bad about it, but we're right. going to show you how we were in the forefront of architecture. We're in the forefront of startups, that kind yeah. of thing. And I love that. Yeah. I really do. And in an unassuming way.
Right. Do you have a favorite or like most memorable around town that you've been on?
I've done so many that well, you guys know that I love anything that has to do with theater. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, right. What was the one you just like, you danced in? Was it Dancing Queen that you were?
Oh, that was Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Mm. Didn't you come out full garb?
Full garb. I mean, I've done that often.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. That's the most recent. That's stuck in my head. That is the most recent. But I've done a chorus line. Oh, yeah, yeah. And ironically, no one ever, like from those theaters, no one ever goes, wow.
Like right. you're wonderful?
We should give her nadie, no one. And
no.
I always thought that. You know, when I was little, I thought, you know how.
Get discovered.
Well, maybe not in your time, but in my time, there were a lot of models that were discovered walking around in Russia. They right. were super hungry mm-hmm. yeah, and yeah. they looked emaciated. And someone from Vogue would say, you're sign her up, right? Yeah. And I thought I'd be walking down the streets in Puerto Rico or something and be like, that's her actress. And yeah. so, nah.
No.
No.
And to that this hasn't day, happened. I've had to work hard yeah. not even for like everything I am.
First alternate.
Just. No one. Like, no, not even understudy. They don't even go, yeah, you know what, we should.
Do you ever like float it? Like, hey, do you guys need like, I don't know, like maybe you need somebody.
I
like,
always go, if
West
you need
Story, Maria, I mean,
I like to be
sense.
Anita. I'd like to Anita, be Anita. Okay. She's feisty. Mm-hmm.
You've touched on it a little bit, but let's talk about representation. We're just a couple of white guys here, but yeah, you're busting down barriers.
You're listening and you can't tell yeah, by their
in case
right.
you couldn't tell, yeah. You're busting down barriers. You're representing Spanish speakers and Latinas on mainstream English language television. Like, what does that mean to you?
I'm one of the few, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that did the crossover.
Right.
What does that mean to me? That means the world to me. Mm. I try not to screw it up every morning. It's hard working with you guys.
What is that supposed to
mean? Because you're funny and you make me push boundaries and do inappropriate things that my parents thought I was working for the Today Show. And then my mom shows up and Conrad is like, my mom's an alcoholic. And I'm like, where are we? You know? And Larry's right. hitting on us. And
right.
my mom's like, Nana, where did you? Oh my God. Yeah. Right. I thought this was the third market right. in the country. Right. And Americans were serious people.
Yeah. Mm-mm. No.
So it means the world to me. It's a responsibility that I take very seriously. And I am not a full-time mentor like some of my friends who will, but if you call me, if you send me an email, I respond. I am supportive of people who come for my advice, and because other people paved the way and helped me. So I think that, like I told you guys earlier, it's quite the responsibility because I don't ever, ever want to make a joke of who we are.
Right.
And I know that sometimes I thicken my accent or I'm like, oh, English is not my first language, but I have never felt disrespected or that you guys are mocking me on the air for the way I am or the way I sound.
Right.
I've always felt respected. And the audience does that too, right? The audience is like, it's so cool that, you know, you're one of us there. And I take that very seriously.
Right. It's an inclusive family of like all different backgrounds.
Yeah. When people come and ask for advice, what do you give?
To go into another field.
Why? Because your faith will take your job?
There's only space for one.
Right. You want to do what I'm doing?
You know what?
Luck.
Yeah. You know what?
All right.
No, I tell them they have to educate themselves. They have to know how to write.
Yeah.
They have to know how to speak properly on television and on the internet. I think eventually you fizzle if you're a viral sensation, if you're not educated and if you don't learn from others. And I think it's important that you know how to do a lot of things. I can cover... I was a general assignment reporter. So if right now I have to go cover a disaster, I can handle it. Mm. You saw that when I covered the aftermath of Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico.
Right.
So it's almost like when I was I started as a dancer, I only wanted to dance hip hop and jazz. And my teachers were like, you have to learn ballet. Mm-hmm. Because ballet is a root for every dance, right? You can't know during jazz, they'll say fourth position and you won't know what it is. Mm. But if you took ballet, you do, and that's necessary. I think that it is important that you know the rules of journalism, who, what, when, where, why, and those apply to any type of journalism you want to do.
Yeah.
And I also encourage them, with the power that they have with the internet, to do any airtime. Any airtime is important, and do it right, you know?
Right.
I think the podcasts, the video blogs, all that is important because it's airtime, and in this day and age, you not necessarily have to be in a top channel. You can say, I did this kick-ass work on my Facebook page.
This is a family podcast.
If I'm you sorry. Could, it's not my first curse. Language.
No, just kidding. We can curse. We'll bleep it.
Yeah
we'll bleep it. You just mentioned, you touched on Hurricane Maria, but we sent you there for coverage after the hurricane and the area was very decimated. Can you talk kind of about that experience of going there?
So my family lives there.
Yeah.
So it was a very weird, bittersweet homecoming because I had tried to get there three times with the station after Maria hit.
Right.
And the first time it was devastating not to go because I had messages from friends here, like, go find my mom and give her these batteries. Go find my cousin and here's the money so he can make it to San Juan. So it's almost like a humanitarian mission and I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And I became somehow a spokesperson for Puerto Ricans of the diaspora here, together with other Chicagoans who were amazing, like the Puerto Rican Agenda and Segundo Ruiz Belvis, because for the first time, we were completely disconnected from our people and desperate for information. So I really, really wanted to make it over there. Once I got there, it's very hard, guys, to drive around your hometown and see it with no power, with, you know, your family walking around with lights on their heads, with, you know, hats, with helmets, with a light to get to their car. My 80-year-old parents going up and down staircases to get to their home. It's hard when your parents tell you, send us food. We don't know how much there's going to be left in the supermarket. And we've always prided ourselves in being a first world island because we belong to the United States, because we're a colony of the U.S. And to see it that decimated and to see it like a lot of our neighbors where you couldn't drink their water. Now we're there. A natural disaster is an equalizing experience. You know, money, no money, you are there in the hole. So I had family without power for months. My niece moved up here to live with us because her school had no power. So we took her in for 9 months. So it changed my life personally and professionally. It felt like a lot of responsibility because we're a very politically polarized place because of our status. And I didn't want to touch on that. I wanted to tell the human stories, which is what I do best. And that's what we did. And it was very moving, but also I was like, I can't show my emotions here. I can, but I can't be like, well, this is wrong, but because I'm a journalist. And also I come from a school of journalists that taught you not to be the story and GN made me the story, right? People right. cared because my family was yeah. in need and my people were in need. And so that I was like, I gotta, it's a fine line
yeah,
before
walk.
I stand, yeah. sit here giving an opinion like.
Subjective, but not too subjective.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So your parents live in San Juan.
Yes, and my brother and sister and my niece.
Right.
And
so cousins. What's the rebuild been like? I mean, it's been 2 years.
Slow.
Now.
It's been very slow. Yeah. San Juan is doing fine, but there are still streets. My family doesn't go out at night as much anymore because there are streets without power.
Mm.
So to drive in the dark is hard. Crime has increased.
Mm.
My dad just got held up 3 weeks ago in front of his house. But it's ironic because tourists are safe. The tourism is thriving, and we need it to thrive. But the day-to-day life is hard, not as hard as 2 years ago, but it could be better.
Right.
I think we are at this point, my dad would say, 10 to 15 years back, almost 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you visited a few times.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How have you like stayed involved? I mean, visiting with them and everything too, just... More or less checking on your parents.
I'm checking on my
family,
parents
right?
and family.
Yeah.
And I was hired to give a TEDx talk there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
To people from the pharmacy industry. I try as much as I can to keep it in the forefront with my social media platforms.
Right.
You have to use your voice and your talents, right? I can't go build a house with Habitat for Humanity. You've seen me. It's not a good thing. But if I can lend my voice to it, it's what I know how to do best. So I keep, sometimes I'm like, someone's going to be like, girl, your page is all about Puerto Rico and around town and your kids. Well, it is what it is. It's
right.
what I have.
Right.
And I learned a long time that you use it for what you want to use
yeah.
it.
And yeah. And that's the news cycle now is something's out of the news. I mean, as big as like an entire country decimated by a hurricane is out in a week.
Right.
I mean, the Bahamas
right.
is gone. It's
yeah.
not what it used to be.
Story is lost. Yeah. People are still rebuilding. Yeah. That's
yeah.
still happening.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a difficult transition, but we're going to make it. I helped you win an Emmy for your coverage in Puerto Rico.
I did.
I don't know if you remember this.
Yes, and
I
you helped
you
me,
find
and I didn't
and
mention
process
you
your story. So,
the,
yes, okay. so you could submit the paperwork. You didn't thank me in your acceptance speech. So let's just really quickly just pretend you just walked up to the podium, and the winner is Annabella Ball. Yay!
I first want to thank God and Brian Say. Same level of importance in my life.
Finally, somebody has.
Wow.
Brian put together my clips, found me my clips that in a newsroom are impossible to find.
This is right. true.
And yeah. did it with love and never threw it in my face that he helped me.
Right.
Also, Vicky Thomas, who edited the whole thing. I didn't thank her.
You should thank her. Yeah,
I
you
also
should.
Didn't thank my children, Brian.
Wow. Well, this is your opportunity.
Well, what did they do?
Thank you.
Right.
What did they?
That was my point.
Did you thank your husband?
Yes.
Oh,
a
there
lot.
You go.
Profusely.
That's all you need.
God and your husband. Your parents, probably.
I didn't thank God. I didn't thank my parents either.
So just your husband.
Well, I wanted to be story specific.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about who helped me in that story.
Sure.
So my kids didn't do anything but be kids.
Right. They probably hindered things. Yeah.
And right. my husband made it all. My husband pushed me to go. He said, you got to go tell that story.
Sure.
And I was worried because I left Steve here with my niece who had just landed
right. yeah.
and my two kids. And he had to go to like parent-teacher conference. And
right.
right.
And not a lot of husbands are going to be like, sure,
right.
you know, and let me know when you come home.
And not just that, but pushing you.
Yeah. And he was like, no, because I was about to say, we've tried three times. Let's forget it. And he's like, no, you're not forgetting it. So I had to thank him. And I thanked Hector, my camera guy, who had been my first camera guy at Univision.
Oh.
Our boss knew what she did when she sent me there with him. And I thanked everyone at GN, which you should have felt included.
Right. I was kidding. You,
no.
obviously.
No, I felt bad later.
To be
I felt
fair,
bad for you and Ricky. And Ricky. Vicky. And Ricky.
To be
Ricky.
Fair, it's so hard to get Brian in a tux these days.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
no, he wasn't going to go.
No, he wouldn't.
He wasn't giving me my plus one.
Well, that's awkward.
Well, that is awkward because we had
all
a conversation.
Right, another tough
Hector
transition.
Didn't even get an Emmy because it would have been $275 to get him a statue.
Yeah.
I said, you can come visit it here.
Right.
I put your name on it, Hector.
Brian and I have been to your home.
Yes!
We shot a little
piece. I made Brian a sandwich.
Yeah, you did. You really did.
Because he was hangry.
I was. Thank you for
doing
that.
And we really thank you for that. And we spent a lot of time there. It was very hot.
It was.
I remember.
I forgot about that.
Open window.
I think I blocked that out. Yeah.
And it was
what
like,
do you keep it 78 degrees in there?
In the winter?
Meanwhile, we babysat. I was like kicking around a soccer ball.
You were Uncle Ross.
Mm-hmm. No.
But I mean, I digress. Can you get us an invite to Paul Conrad's house?
Yeah, please.
That's where I really want to go. What, rooftop.
Have you seen?
It's unbelievable. Smokes. Why can't you get us invited? You don't have
you the haven't end? Gone? Come on.
You've never been to Paul's house?
He's got to hold mixers there or something.
He did, like when he redid his place, he invited all of us to some kind of concert and I didn't make it. I couldn't. I don't know why. And I didn't go, and that was the door closed.
That was it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's your house.
I should have known.
Yeah, he hasn't even invited us to a concert.
They've been to your house.
They've never been to my house. None of them have.
Oh, wow. So we've got one up on them.
I think Thomas Sulo has been, but Thomas Sulo also wanted to come see my babies when they were born. The other ones couldn't care less.
No.
I shouldn't say that because Robin always sends a nice gift.
That's true. Well, I don't know if it's true, but I'm trusting
it
is. Yeah. That's a good segue because we interviewed Pat recently for this podcast and we asked him to name his favorite personality on the WGN Morning News. He said you. Yeah.
No.
He did. When we asked Paul the same question, he said Robin, so we need to know who's your favorite personality on the show.
Oh, Pat said me.
He said Anna, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd say Pat.
Is that just because I said that?
No,
I should have asked before.
No,
I should have asked before divulging.
Honestly, I love my favorite. I love them all. But I have a weakness for Pat because he's like my little brother. Mm. He actually fits in my kid's high chair.
He is small.
He's adorable. And he loves it when I call him adorable.
I bet. Yeah.
And I came into the station when Pat came in.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
Me, Val, and Pat.
Yeah.
And Dean Richards, who's my desk husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's always been like a protector of me.
Sure.
But I have to say, Paul is like the nicest guy ever. I admire how he's raised his children and the kind of guy he is. And Robin is just a very thoughtful person, you know? And so I really like them. We don't hang out outside the so we are the original B team, Dean.
Right.
Val, Pat and I.
Mm-hmm.
Until the babies showed up.
Right.
So then Pat abandoned us and went to the A team. And now it's just Dean and I, old and coughing and making sure we don't get bed sores. And
eating soup.
Eating soup. Yeah.
Does that make Brian and I your desk cousins? Because we're kind of like behind you.
Yes. And unfortunately, Brian moved in and I've had a lot of work. And so he wants to come over to talk and he's met Deadline Anna. And Deadline Anna is not nice.
Deadline Anna's short. She's short with you.
Not now, Brian. Not now.
What?
Brian.
Are you writing?
And then she like mutters something in Spanish under your breath and you're like, oh, okay.
That's true. You have to get used to me speaking in Spanish to relatives and myself when you sit by me.
Right.
But yeah, I would say Pat Thomasulo and Dean Richards are my favorites.
And we should add as a caveat to that that Pat may have only said Anna because Paul said Robin. That hurt his feelings.
Yeah, he was
circle
hurt.
Around.
So,
why are you ruining it?
Your answer might have been vindictive.
Because we've ruined it for everyone.
Because we want you now to just be able to add an addendum to what you've said, knowing that.
Yeah.
That him choosing you is probably just revenge on
Paul. No, I know what we've had.
Okay. Wow.
Because we did, Tumi, Thomasulo and I did the Comedy Circle for about 2 years together. And so that brought us together.
Sure.
And we became close friends, especially Thomasulo and I, because we drove from the city together.
Mm.
So I want to think that it is honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think
he's been
too.
At my house.
Sure.
So follow up question. You've had three producers here, Terry Barthel, Tom Barnes, and Natalie Skrid. Yep. Who has been your favorite producer?
They all have a special place in my heart.
No, that is like the question about your favorite child.
I'm going to tell you because Terry Barthel, it almost is like Terry raised me because I arrived like a little girl from Univision, not knowing much about the culture.
Is that how you talk?
I'm not laughing.
Is that after their accent reduction classes?
Like there were moments where Terry would have to be like,
laugh,
oh,
Brian.
You really have never been to a pumpkin patch. This is how pumpkins grow. Like seriously. Like, yeah. You know I know.
No, I know.
I know nothing about sports.
Yes.
And so I'm like, how are we going to do this? I don't even know how to pronounce that.
Right.
And so Terry would be like, this is a cornfield kind of thing, right? Because I also grew up in downtown San Juan.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
In the skyline of San Juan. I'm a city girl.
Right, right.
And so Terry kind of had to be like, okay, show me the ropes at WGN Morning News. Mm-hmm. And then Barnes was so much fun. And Barnes was the kind, like my brother and my real brother, Mario and my fake brother Terry would never take a punch for me. I know that. Like, they're the kind of men that if I get in trouble, they'll help me run away, but they'll be like, why'd you smile at him?
Right. Right.
Hide here.
Why did you though? But yeah.
Right. Whereas Barnes would punch first and he then would. Be like,
totally.
Yeah.
Why'd you mess with her?
Right. Yeah.
So he was very protective, very supportive, and also just like Terry would push the envelope with me, like, "Why? Are you sure you're not going to try that? Okay, no." That's how they dealt with me.
Right.
And then they've trained Natalie to do the same.
Right.
I think that, well, Natalie's a woman, so that's, we have that connection, which is different than with the boys.
Sure.
And she is a hard worker and a quick learner, and also has improved our social media aspect. So they all have brought something different to the table.
Sure.
Right. And Natalie is the American everyone should know.
Right.
Like, if aliens land in this country, they need to go to the Skrid's house, because they do all them American holidays hardcore, and they love the tailgating, and they love the turkey, whatever. And
the turkey, whatever.
They go to the Basting? Church every Sunday, and the bingo night, and...
Oh, wow, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All American.
Like the country buffet, and...
The old one or the new one?
All of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Natalie's like, there's a turkey trot, and I'm like, what the hell
is
that?
Right, right.
And... But she embraces other cultures. We've taught each other a lot.
Sure,
and
then
there's Sweary Mary.
Right. We were going to touch on that.
I bet you
were. So Sweary Mary. Do you have a favorite Sweary Mary story? She's your photographer. Oh, yeah. She's been there forever.
She's been your photographer the whole time, right?
And this is my and Sweary Mary every morning comes in to the assignment desk area with Andrew Zwick, who is an amazing assignment editor, comes in. This effing bull crap. And then they got me doing this son of a. Okay, thanks, Andrew. She's the nicest person in the world.
It's the weirdest thing.
I love talking to her.
It's the weirdest
thing.
And
it's just like at times she just things that woman set her off the edge and
puts
hence,
out to the world as if she is nasty and rude and angry and then would take a bullet for you.
Yes.
And you're why? So we've met in the middle. The ironic thing is like when I tell her we're going to deal with these people that I can't stand and I don't know how I'm going to do it, she's the nicest to them.
Yes.
I'm like, where are you hanging out? I want to be in the truck. And she's like, it's lovely to be here. Welcome. Ironically, we were both raised by women with, like, very similar women with a lot of manners, who liked to dress nice, who were homemakers, who were entertainers. Mm-hmm. My mom and her mom are very similar. Her mom passed away. And so... But Mary's the opposite of me, you know? She is tomboyish. Yeah. She loves sports.
Right.
She will not wear pink. And,
she curses.
She curses. She can't dance. But we're like the closest friends. She annoys the hell out of me in the mornings. I annoy her too.
Yeah.
But like now, after 14 years, we know how to deal with each other.
Right.
So like I warn her ahead of time. And then she'll be like, I know you do it for my own good.
Right.
And there's trouble that she's gotten into where I have to be like, you're in the wrong. Go do it. But it took me a lot of years to dare and to do that. But Sweary Mary started because we were forced to do Facebook Live when the platform started. Right. And it was like, you got to get to the place where you're reporting and do Facebook Live.
Yeah.
And I feel better when someone's with me and I can bounce off that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I included Sweary Mary. And we were at a gymnastic place with kids. And the magic ensued.
Right. And then we start doing Facebook Lives live with you. And Sweary Mary, didn't we do that as a sweeps?
We tried it and we screwed it up.
Yeah.
Mm. We screwed it up.
Do you have a favorite Mary story of all time? 14 years, I know that's a big ask.
Oh, gosh.
Is this something that sticks out?
I love when people recognize her because she becomes mush.
Mm.
Complete mush.
Does that happen often?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
More often than you think. She was very happy because her last birthday she drank for free. She's Sweary Mary. I loved one time, I'll never forget, Terry was still our producer and we were at the Dollar Tree and I was 8 months pregnant and Terry put me in a shopping cart and I couldn't get out and Terry couldn't and Mary went, come on, and grabbed me, and picked me up. And and I was like, if my water breaks here, you're taking me to the hospital, not these idiots that surround us.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Somebody told us about an around town involving a bunch of kids and a vaudeville act. Do you remember this? I'm told it was not good.
Oh, there were many of those.
Oh.
Oh, really?
What happened?
I don't know.
That Who was told you?
TB, the first one. He said something like, if she can tell the story nicely. And I was like, well, I wasn't going to mention this.
He probably remembers, but I don't. No. Mary probably cursed at a kid. Was it a Mary story or a me?
I think it was just that it was difficult.
Awful.
Yeah.
It was awful. We tried a lot of things that didn't stick. We did, this was Tom Barnes, not TB. Tom Barnes, the other TB.
Yeah.
He sent me to a bird watching store. And I look at the rundown that morning and I go, Barnes, I don't think there are birds there. And he goes, clearly they have to have birds. And we show up at the place and there are no birds. It's a place to buy the equipment. You don't remember. There was also a lady who sang at the keyboard bird songs.
No.
Uh-huh. And she's playing us out. The birds are lovely.
Oh my God.
Birds are great. And we go off. The segment finishes, but she hasn't finished. And she goes to the camera, blows a kiss and waves.
Uh-huh. Stop.
And Bill O'Toole, who works now at CNN, who was my engineer for many years, in my ear goes, this is probably the worst segment you've ever done. And now, and you know, I have to warn PR people, public relations people. I'm like, we will ridicule it. Not me necessarily, because I don't like to do that.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Tomasulo's department.
Back in the studio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back in the studio. And I'm like,
they're removed.
Your client will hear them saying this is stupid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is not going to be good for you. And they're like, no, it's great. A bird watching place, no birds.
Yeah.
I've also been in dog fights a lot where go in there. The dogs are friendly and the dogs start fighting.
Okay.
They've never fought before. And I'm like, it's me because I'm not an animal person.
Right.
I was not attacked, but I was jumped on by a pit bull at the Shedd Aquarium. You were here, I think.
At the Shedd Aquarium?
Yeah, because they were training animals. They wanted to show kids how you train animals like you train dolphins while their dolphin exhibition was closed.
Yeah.
And I think I got off the floor and went to talk to the pit bull's trainer. And I think the dog felt like I was going to go for the trainer and jumped on me. And Sarah Fisher, our director, saw it. And I could feel his teeth on my head.
What?
And and I remember Mary and Tom pulling me out is the only time that I've cried off the air. And I said, put me by the belugas. Don't put me by that thing again.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's and scary. Then
was it on air?
No. We're waiting to go on air. So I got up to say, hey, Ken, we're going to go on the air now. And the dog freaked out.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
When you worked at Univision, you had to do a story every Thanksgiving. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, my God. Yes. You don't know about this one. So it's a cultural thing.
Mm.
Let's just preface it with that.
Okay.
No judgment zone. Every Thanksgiving, we will go to Cialis Poultry on Armitage and check out how they would get the live turkeys ready to be consumed.
Okay. You're using very careful language.
Part of the video would be when they would throw the turkey in the machine to kill it, and you were here. Like, I never went in because I found it so gross and awful. But apparently Spanish TV thought
that
was an appropriate story. Because
an appropriate
story for Thanksgiving. Not the turkeys that were saved by the president, but the ones that were murdered on Armitage. So
you need to know how turkey gets to your table. There shouldn't be a disconnect.
Farm boy here sees nothing
That's
wrong
true.
With
yeah,
that.
No, of course.
It's like the Midwest.
He kills the turkeys every year by himself.
The Midwest is obsessed with sausage making. Like, I have never met people. Like, if you in New York go to a butcher shop and show the meats being encased, people will call, this is disgusting, what are they doing? You don't know how many butcher shops I've covered, and I've held the sausage to be encased, and it's not what you think it's. I've stopped touching the sausage because I find it awful. I just let it fill up, and people goes, oh, that looks so good. And I'm like, what?
So every year, though, you did the turkey story?
Almost every year, yeah.
What's funny is my mother-in-law just made a bunch of sausage. We got a bunch in our freezer right now, just sitting there. Just looks delicious.
I guess you wouldn't mind seeing it on TV. No, bring it. I just don't like I don't like to see it made.
That's what is. Isn't that a phrase or
not
something?
Not in the Midwest. Don't apparently, watch how the they love to see the sausage. It's made.
We talked about this. Brian and I sang a little bit of the theme song before, but you are the star of the wildly popular telenovela Noticias de mi Corazón.
Ay, qué lindo. Oh, my God.
Tell us, what's Tell it us. Like?
Oh, you sounded like
what's
my dad.
What's it like Tell to us. Slap Dan Ponce?
I've never slapped anyone Only before Lourdes? The telenovelas.
You haven't?
No. Never.
You slapped Joe in the last one. I put it in.
Si, oh, si, yeah, si, you si, did. Si, pero I have never slapped. I'm not a fighter.
You've never actually hit
never.
Is what you're saying.
Until Dan Ponce said, in this thing, you're going to slap everybody.
Oh, sure, right.
Oh, okay. Like,
but I've never slapped anyone.
Yeah.
You should slap Dan.
I've slapped Dan. Yeah. For real.
What's it like?
Oh, really?
That's what we're asking.
It makes me feel bad.
Oh.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's not the answer we wanted.
I know. It's not empowering. Weird. Right. It's like, I'm going to hurt my coworker.
Yeah. Right. Well, I guess that just means you're a good person, which is
that
upsetting.
That didn't go the way
Well, then, thank you very much.
So, speaking of that, the telenovelas, though, what's it like putting those together?
They're so much fun. Yeah. And Dan is a very organized producer-director. He doesn't waste time. He's like, now this, now this, now that. And so they don't take a long time to shoot, and they get...
They're slam
more clever
dunks.
And clever.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I said they're slam dunks every time.
Yeah.
They're
the last one was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, with Lourdes. And that was her idea to announce her pregnancy good. That way. Yeah. We're not sane.
No. You got to be a little
off. And
the
people who marry us are a little off, too. Because, like, Matt was like, sure. If you want to say Bozo's the baby, is daddy. I'm like.
Right. Right.
Like, so my husband the other day, shoot me unboxing the toilet paper that you've made fun of me.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah.
I damaged that boy.
Accommodating to your nonsense.
Let's do it like Ryan's toy review.
He's got so much he has to keep it like in a storage unit. Or is that your garage?
It's in our garage.
Yeah, right. So Noticias is an over-the-top spoof, and it's hilarious.
Mm.
But in real life, you have a lot of zest, right? Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel like the need to tone it down at all? That's a serious question. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I love it. I think it's wonderful. But I'm curious, you know.
You guys have never really dealt with me in the afternoons and nights. I am not that, like, high-strung.
You're not on.
I'm not on.
Yeah.
I'm still, like, we'll break into dance in our house.
Sure.
And I'm there for my family's entertainment. But there are days that I'm like, okay, you need to tone it down. I used to ask one of our engineers, and I still ask Gerald, to give me the return of my voice so I can hear myself, because I tend to get really loud when I get excited.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to hear myself so I would tone it down and not, like, freak people out.
Right.
So I'm very self-conscious of that part. But then when I try to use my NPR voice, Gerald is like, stop that.
Right.
We can't hear you. So I'm like, we'll be back with more from
Museum
of Science and Industry.
Can we get some of that? Yeah.
The Industrial Revolution.
I would listen.
But that's Gerald's like, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Don't lose that. Don't lose
that. But
the
I kind of like the NBA. You can do both.
I can do both.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And for example, I work with cameramen. When I'm doing stories, I'm more subdued. So I work with cameramen who know that I can do both. And they'll be like, okay, this story narrated a little slower because it's more about when we went whitewater rafting in Arizona. Sean's like, I shot this more like CBS Sunday morning. So
make sure
you talk about wilderness and the beauty of it and tone it down.
Right, right.
But then I would introduce it like, we went whitewater rafting. And then... We didn't have an address. It was just when you see the trees, just get out of your car. And I had just introduced it like an explosion.
Right.
There's always room to learn. But I had a news director, sorry, Ross, that used to tell me it's better to tell me to tone down than to tell somebody to bring it up.
Sure.
Because I had a co-anchor who was very dull. And my news director was like, it's easier for me to say, Anna, calm it down than to tell him, like, dude, crack a smile, relax.
Right. I don't think you make it anywhere now without having some type of character.
Personality.
I mean,
you
can't
need personality.
Just deliver.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at me and Ross.
You're oozing personality.
Right.
I want to talk about another time where you added some zest, but also kept it professional. Ricky Martin.
We touched on it, but let's.
Yeah, you were very. I mean, it was a serious topic that you were getting into of his help in Puerto Rico, but also you fangirled. All over
hard.
Him. Hard. Yeah. Talk about that moment in the aftermath.
Yes, and.
Did you black out?
Is it a touchy subject?
She was remembering it.
That was one of the highlights of my career. To tell somebody that you admire how much you admire them, and then to have it resonate with people that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think if I meet him in person, I will be that ridiculous. I think I'd be more of the Anna who asked him serious questions. And so I'll probably disappoint people. But just keep rolling after I meet him. Right, and then I'll probably lose my you-know-what again.
Yeah.
It is not a sexual attraction, although he is hot. It is more admiration.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
It is more like... this dude does what a lot of us are trying to do, which is to an honest life and make sure that his culture and his pride for who he is and his island, he walks around with it. You know, he wears it proudly.
Yeah.
And so I've been lucky enough to travel to enough places where people know who he is. It's like Michael Jordan in Chicago, you know? It's better than Al Capone, you know?
Yeah,
or,
right.
Oh my God, you were from Chicago, Chirac. It's much better when we hear other stuff.
Right.
So the same concept with Ricky Martin.
Right.
And again, he's hot. But it's not like, come on now, we both have husbands.
Right, right.
We're both in love with our husbands.
Yeah. TB2, Tom Barnes.
Uh-huh.
Told us.
Oh boy!
I'm a little nervous to ask you about this because I don't know what the hell is going to happen here. Yeah, but he said to ask you about Vicks Vapor Rub.
Ah.
Yeah. What?
I'm a big fan.
What? All the time.
You know
when you're
all
sick.
All the time.
All the time.
Here's the problem. I think I'm trying to back off a little because in the wintertime, I use it to calm down and go to sleep.
Do you have some on right now?
No.
Oh.
But I could. My husband doesn't like it.
It sounds like a weird obsession.
Yes.
Okay.
I try to put it on the kids and they run away from me.
Yeah.
They find it a little intense.
Yeah.
Although my son Alex will say, put it on my feet. But I think it's because he likes that I rub his feet when he has a cough.
Right.
But
that's what I was going to say. Like, you put it on your feet, you're sick, you put some socks on.
Yeah, it's only for when you're sick, but you can be sick of anything. A cold, a rot, a rash, a muscle spasm, menstrual cramps. You can use it for anything. A headache.
Bad day.
Or comfort.
Okay.
You just
like
the
smell, you like the cool feel.
Two fingers.
What? Uh-huh. Wait.
On the chest.
Uh-huh. Okay. Two fingers on the chest.
And that's it. Like that. Sweat. I don't travel without it. I don't trust that you
have
it
some
at your house.
Right now?
No, but I used to have the inhaler one. Now when the weather turns, now I'm going to carry it.
So what's the root of this?
Vicks Vaporub. That's what we call it. Vicks Vaporub.
One more time.
Vicks Vaporub.
I love that.
Yosemite.
So what's the root of the Vicks Vapor Rub?
My mother, but she's 80, does not remember this, but Vicks was a big thing when you got sick in a Latin household. I've heard in the Polish household, in the Greek household, it's menthol, and it helped you with respiratory issues.
Sure.
And in our house, we had a lot of allergies growing up.
Okay.
So we used Vicks a lot. And actually, they even make it for babies now.
All right. I think we've covered
Vicks Vaporub.
We've been to your house, but we heard you don't like hosting parties.
I don't.
So we'll see you tonight.
Because I like to leave.
Yeah.
We'll be over later.
But like, what about a small party?
Like a dinner party? But that's fine. But you got to get my cue.
Right. Like
what
is
your
cue? There's going
to be
a point
where
I go
people?
Like, I start washing dishes.
Yeah.
I have my cousins come like once a month to have dinner.
Mm.
It's called Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
My cousins come with their significant others. I prepare a really crappy taco recipe from McCormick powder
because
I'm not Mexican. So I grew up eating American tacos and with cheddar cheese and all that stuff. And they eat it. And then I don't give them dessert and I start washing dishes. And now they're my family. So now they'll understand that at some point I'm going to switch my pajamas and be like, bye.
Right.
But I host Thanksgiving every year. Mm. I have to drink in order to, And at one point I switched into sweatpants. It makes me very nervous to host a party. I feel like I'm going to run out of food. People are not going to have fun.
Mm. The pressure of the performance.
Yeah, I don't
of
like
the
it. And my mom is a great entertainer. I call my mom the Puerto Rican Jackie Onassis.
Well, that's why you host, so you can wear your sweatpants.
Right.
I mean, at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it true you have a babysitter named Velma?
Vilma.
That's my dog's name.
Why?
She came
that's
that
good way? Name.
Vilma.
Vilma.
Yeah. She spells Vilma. It with a W.
Oh, sure. Like Wilma.
Wilma. Yeah. But they pronounce it Vilma. We call her Mima. She's been with us for 11 years. But now she's not. Alex is now going into kindergarten, or he's in first grade. I'm sorry. So she hasn't been with us full time for 2 years.
Mm.
But she is amazing.
Yeah. Felt my dog's okay. Probably not as
my
good
Velma's
as
better. Your Velma. She can actually cook.
Yeah, Velma doesn't do anything. Doesn't. My dog puked this morning.
Like? You never like she's post
a,
pictures
she's
of her.
She's a pit bull mix.
Yeah, you should meet her.
Yeah. I hear you and pit bulls get along.
Sorry, I don't want to make light of that.
Yeah. She's a mix, though. She's great with people. She hates dogs. She's dog aggressive.
Yeah.
She wants to kill all the dogs.
Yeah.
Kind of like you are with people.
Yeah. We're match
made
in heaven.
They're a great combo.
Yeah, right.
Sweary Mary and Brian.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man. That'd be a good segment.
No weapons allowed.
Them just staring at each other across
the table.
It'd
be a good buddy cop movie.
What?
Yo,
me and
be.
Mary.
Really?
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, I would too.
And what's his name? He's in all the movies. The short comedian. African American.
Oh. Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Your bio on your website says you'll try most anything
once.
Did
you see my website?
Yeah.
Nice, right?
It's nice. Yeah, it's new.
You're like, who's that girl? We've never seen her look
right,
that
I
good.
I don't even know who
I
that
haven't
is.
Seen it. We should put a link up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's on anabalabble.com. Is that anabalabble?
That's it. I'm leaving.
Where are you going? Come on. It was just
what
a joke.
Did somebody take anabalabble? Did somebody take
anabalabble?
I had to buy it from him.
You
really?
Did? Yeah.
Many years ago.
Wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I took LarryPotash.com.
I have LarryPotash.net.
You wouldn't know what to do with it.
I bought my house with all that money.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe
Check
you
it
played
out.
Ball.
LarryPotash.com.
Yeah.
I don't know what's on it, so don't blame me.
Yeah. On your website, it says you'll try most anything. Once I have an object here, I'd like you to close your eyes and I'll tell you.
I know. I fall. I don't put my, I'm not putting my hand in anything. I am not.
Come on.
No.
Actually, there's literally nothing in here. I was going to go get a plantain this morning. And
you know
have
how hard
plantain.
It is to find a plantain?
Well, my
Chicago.
Dog puked, so I had to take care of that.
Oh, Velma.
Yeah. Yeah.
My Velma
that was just
puke.
A test, though, to set you up for our next segment, which is the lightning round. And to start the lightning round, we have another surprise for you. Ready? Hit it, Brian. Shake it, bomb, bomb.
Shake it, bomb, bomb. Shake it, bomb, bomb.
I don't. That's all I know.
Me too.
It's okay. Better that way.
Yep.
First question, what would you be doing if you weren't on TV?
Eating.
Oh.
Job-wise.
Good answer. That's actually a good answer. I was okay with
eat
it.
Eat for a living?
I probably would be an actor.
An actor.
Oh, that's not presumptuous at all. But
that's not what?
Presumptuous.
No, right?
I'd be
No. I'd be a struggling actor. I didn't
right.
say I'd be
We touched
a good
on this
actor.
Earlier. Yeah, you'd be starving. Yeah. You do stand-up sometimes. Say something funny.
Have you heard The Last Hour?
Has this been funny?
I'm going to be like that guy who came to GN and was like, people who pay for my show get the...
Who was
oh,
that?
Oh, is that? Who did that?
I don't remember. It was a comedian. Who wouldn't do impressions. He wouldn't do impressions.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't remember
And
his
we
name
blasted
now.
Him after that.
Yeah. Okay. You can't ride a bike. Well, you can kind of ride a bike.
I learned at age 40.
But I just now saw during that sports summit, you can't jump rope.
No. Listen.
What other childhood fun did you miss out on?
Roller skating.
Okay.
Oh.
Jump rope. What else do kids do?
Can you use a yo-yo?
Barely.
Is this a sweeps thing we got to do where you should you should
idea.
Conquer everything?
Yeah.
That's
we
not a bad
throw
idea.
Throw stuff at you. You don't know what's coming and you try it. And
you have to ask. There's a lot that I haven't done. Like, I haven't been tailgating ever.
Why hasn't Skrid gotten you
Skrid
up
is going to do it now. We're going to go to a Bears tailgating. But they told me I don't have to watch the game, which is my condition. I wouldn't know what's going on.
So you just stay
outside. I hate dodgeball. I had an A in gym just because I brought the uniform, and I was just charming. So
right.
That's how I got
Belleval will warm them up, and I would be like, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then my girlfriends were athletes, so they'd be like, we'll pick her, but just have her sit back there, and she'll clap.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
You found your recipe box from the late 90s recently. What will you be making Ross and I for dinner tonight?
Meatloaf.
This is a longer answer than I was anticipating.
I could make you some spaghetti sauce and spaghetti that my mom used to make that the kids really like.
That'd be
but it's not from scratch, okay? I was raised on preservatives in the 70s and 80s.
I was
so
raised on them in
like
the 90s,
ragu sauce with, okay.
Right. Did you ever think like spaghetti was like such a big meal and then you make it later on when you're like older and you're like, oh, it's like two things. It's like meat sauce and...
I hope he doesn't go to Italy and say that.
No.
Do you imagine?
He wouldn't.
I'm just saying in an Irish-American home.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
With
like
the preservatives.
Yeah. I was like, she made this with ragu,
with the Chef
old traditional?
Yeah, right.
Tom Barnes told us you hate rock music. So what's your favorite Foo Fighters song?
No, because I'm a big fan of U2.
Oh.
And U2.
It's a beautiful day.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm a big fan of U2.
Is that rock music?
And I like Coldplay. And I am a...
So you like pop U2 rock. And Coldplay.
I like pop rock. Yeah. I like Latin music. Okay. I like stuff I can dance to.
Right.
Here's the problem. Mm-hmm. That man...
Chili Peppers?
Which man?
Yes.
Tom?
Okay.
Tom Barnes and my brother Mario are hardcore rock listeners. And my husband is too.
Right.
But my husband, like everything else, just gave in. He was like, let's keep the apartment at 78. I'll just wear shorts.
Is it literally 78?
Sometimes during the polar vortex. I don't even understand what your problem is. The kids are happy.
My
Have you seen them? They're thriving.
Is 68.
I die.
Wow.
Mine's
like 72 right now when it was really hot.
78. Okay, anyway.
Anywho,
insane.
So now I know why my flowers die. my dad one time, my father from Puerto Rico goes, you know what, Nena? I think an avocado tree would really do well in your apartment because you keep this in greenhouse condition. My family from Puerto Rico comes and takes their sweaters off. They're like, what is wrong with her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho,
husband likes rock music.
But he was encouraged by Tom Barnes to force me to go to Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
So my brother Mario is in love with Pearl Jam and would never go to a concert. So I flew him here to go to Pearl Jam and paid for his concert ticket. And I was going to send him with Barnes and my husband Steve.
Yeah.
And they shamed me and I had to go. I knew four songs.
Yeah.
So then for some reason.
Did you have a nice time?
Yeah, I guess.
You did a little.
But then I had to go again.
Oh.
On a Monday, when it rained, and then they moved it, and we all called in sick. Remember, all of us that went to the last concert
because
it rained.
Then that year,
I also had to go to Foo Fighters.
Mm. So you don't like?
I mean, and Dave Grohl's a great entertainer, but I'm like, that's what it sounds like.
He's no Ricky Martin. Well, that's a perfect segue. I'm told that you do a dolphin call, or maybe it's a mermaid. Or mermaid calls
Didn't
it the same thing?
Did I do that
thing?
In your show first?
I think so.
Well, it's really dolphin, but I
Lauren
was dressed
Jiggets
as a mermaid.
Tried to copy you.
Shit.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But please.
So one more time. I had to take the headphones off.
Wow. You
is that's a dolphin or a mermaid or both?
Both.
That's like the siren song that the sailors used to jump off to go to the island, but now they're just jumping off to get away from
to
it.
To die, yeah. What?
Thank God Vilma wasn't here.
Yeah. Oh my.
She would have attacked me.
Goodness. One more time.
I have a lot of sound.
How
effects.
Is it both? What else do you have?
In my conversations, I use a lot of sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I have? Like I have different birds. Like
that's a good one.
Peacock,
right? Yeah. Or a scarlet macaw.
Okay.
Sounds nicer, I guess.
Sorry, it was the inflection in your voice.
The peacock
I thought it was
do
a
that.
Peacock.
The peacock goes.
Sorry, we haven't been to the bird watching store. So.
When
do that again to the peacock. That's really good.
Those are his feathers, and that's his mating call. Right? I learned that at the Brookfield Zoo.
Yeah.
Pig.
I can do a pig, but it's different.
What do
it's
you do?
It's an oink. It's very loud. I don't know if I should do it.
Do you do squealing?
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to do
it. It always sounds like they're
deprive our audience.
Like they're hurting the pig.
Yeah, that's kind of what it
you
sounds
sound
like.
It,
And I'll start coughing because I don't do it very often.
That, you got to put that sound effect in your Thanksgiving Day package.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the dying turkey.
Yeah, dying.
Oh, my God.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
You did a really good impression of your dad earlier. Can you give us another impression?
Yeah.
My dad is fluent in English, but my dad speaks in English that you need a master's degree to understand. So this is part of my stand-up gig. You're not going to have to pay for this.
Oh,
so my dad, you'll ask him like, hey,
we'll
dad,
you
ask him a question.
On this part of this.
We're going to collect the money.
You ask him a question, and he'll be like, pertaining to the request for child reading services, for a time and day to be determined by the parental unit, with food, lodging, and beverages required, are you babysitting or not? Like, I don't understand.
It's a list of
God, be very careful what you ask him because you. And now that he's older, he'll give you the historical information too. of right. anything you right. ask them.
For instance. They'd
be like, Dad, I heard your friend died. I'm so sorry. You know, it's a complication of the aging process. When the people you hold near and dear start biting the dust.
I love your dad already.
Consequently, and therefore, I try to stay away from centers like the funeral home as much as possible, as to not cause any complication or confusion and end up incinerated.
Can we get him on the podcast?
Yeah, totally we got can. Him.
Man.
Don't ask him anything about him. The Puerto Rican status. He's not allowed.
Okay. Oh. A little birdie told us that you dated a guy who was a correspondent on The Daily Show. Care to name drop?
Really? Who said that? That was TB.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Who'd you talk to? Mm-hmm. Dan DeBacker. He didn't last long as a correspondent. Mm. Very funny guy. He was my one and only white boyfriend, and he dumped me.
Oh, wow.
Because I was whatever intense.
You were intense? Maybe you should have toned it down for him.
Yeah.
That's called.
Yeah,
callback.
Dan, you couldn't handle the zest.
Yeah,
he couldn't
handle
that.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan.
That Dan. Yeah.
Dan. Hey, speaking of that, can you say something mean to Brian in Spanish? Just it could be in it. Just mean. It doesn't have to be like swear words. Just mean, like. Nice hair.
Yeah, your hair looks stupid today, Brian. Way to go. This wasn't...
¿Qué le pasa a la camisa esa que parece que vas a vender, que vas a pedir un préstamo en el banco?
Oh, snap.
I think you're talking about my shirt because you're looking at my shirt. What did you say about my shirt?
What are you Blanco. Wearing that shirt that it looks like you're going to a bank to be like the bank teller?
Wow.
I'd never Meanwhile, wore this shirt before like today.
Oh, it's no, the first Brian, time I wore this shirt.
I don't think I'm going to wear this shirt
he
ever
made
again.
Me, he made me be mean.
Wow. Okay.
At least he's not wearing sweatshirts now.
What's
that's ya era ahora que se vistiera como un adulto, no?
Sí.
Sí. What's Ross's Puerto Rican name?
Rob.
Why?
Because I have a problem with his name, too. It's what's like the I problem? Can't say Tim. I say Team.
Okay.
I get like the Rob Ross thing. First of all, there is no Russell in Spanish.
Mm.
So Ross is not a nickname we have in Spanish.
Gotcha.
So, and I was thanking him for doing something really lovely on the air for me.
Yeah,
oh, and that's I called right. him Ross.
And open, yeah. And she yeah. called
and
me
then
Rob.
I texted him with my heart in my hand.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm so sorry. This is your, and he goes, I thought that was my Puerto Rican name. So his name is Roberto.
Yeah.
Do I have a Puerto Rican name?
No.
Oh.
Because we have Brian.
Oh.
Brian.
Brian.
Is it true you drink your rum neat?
Kind of, with a splash of club soda.
Oh.
Interesting. Mm. Was it your true dream to be a dancer?
Yes, a backup dancer in a merengue class.
What's happening?
I wanted to be a backup singer in a merengue band.
Okay.
Or a like one of those backup dancers.
A backup. You didn't even want to be the star.
I didn't want to be the star. I just wanted to be like the one who's like next to J-Lo.
Still no calls.
And then people will go, still no calls. You know, Rob.
It is BS.
Wow. After your moves today at the end of the seven, I would have thought somebody would have.
And did you notice how Paul eggs me on
yeah.
and I don't stop?
Right.
Like, if that's off the air, I'd stop. Right. But there's something about the light being on.
And I sit back there and I just go, stay on her. Stay on her.
Yeah.
Stay. No, nope, she wants to go to commercial.
Please say clear. She's going to have a heart attack. I'm 45, boys.
Would you rather
not gonna
live
last
in,
you forever.
Would you rather live in New York or Chicago?
Chicago.
So you love it here.
I figured that.
I love it here. If I ever go back to New York, I have to be paid a lot of money or have lost my job here.
What's in your trunk?
There's a bat, a baseball bat.
Why?
Right
there
on.
Is a...
Why is there a baseball bat?
There's a baseball bat because I went to a baseball
game.
Bat factory and they made me
right.
one.
Yeah.
And I never took it out of the car and now I feel like a badass. With it,
yeah.
And then I have what did you call that when you swim in a suit? Not a swimsuit, but the bodysuit, the whole thing.
Leotard.
The wetsuit. I have
wet
a wetsuit. Leotard is to dance.
Sorry, I'm not a dancer. Like
wet.
You.
I have a wetsuit there.
Why
I
do
have
you
a
have?
Lot of random things that people give me around town that I have nowhere just, to put them because yeah. I live in a condo,
right?
So I keep them in my trunk. Okay. It's weird what I have in my trunk.
Yeah.
Brian's we've now placed something in the bag. We're wondering if you would like to
still
play.
Not.
Are you sure
what's
you don't
want to
close your eyes and guess the object? There's literally nothing in there.
But she came around. She did.
I love how trying. I love how nice we are to each other. There's nothing to just do it.
Just do it.
Go with it, Anna.
But the thing is, we built trust throughout the interview, and we got there. Right. We got there with you. Yeah. That's all that matters.
I feel so much better now.
At this juncture, we're done. Is there anything else we should have asked?
Great lightning round.
Boys, I'm so happy you're part of WGN.
Oh, that's
because
nice.
Because you brought a creativity that we wouldn't have had without the two of you.
Yeah.
And you are hard workers and nice men.
Thank you.
That's nice.
And I really enjoy working with you.
Likewise.
Same.
So I'm glad that you're doing this. You guys make us laugh a lot. And it gets to a point when you're working for many years that you don't know if they're going to find people like us. And they manage to. And that's the cool thing.
Yeah.
So thank you for having me, even though I was like, what, fifth? Has Robin done that?
No, you're the 12th.
No.
Not to hurt your feelings more, but.
Right. We're spacing out all the good ones.
You can't do all of them best ones
at the top. Of the crew.
Oh.
Has Robin been here yet?
No.
Well, you'd have to go to her couch.
She's a big get.
Paul is a big get because Paul moves really quickly.
Paul, Pat, Toomey, I think, are the only morning show.
Isn't Toomey funny?
Toomey's great.
Is funny. Yeah.
Have you seen him doing stand-up?
I have not yet.
Oh, no, I did. I saw him, Jeff Hoover, their Christmas show.
Oh, that's funny. I think that anyone who watches him on our show needs to go see him doing stand-up because Mike Toomey's one of the best stand-up comedians I know.
It's effortless with him.
Right.
Goodness, and his crowd work and, you know, and he's so humble about it and so generous. Like, Mike was the one who, like, encouraged me to go into stand-up comedy and edited my work for many years. So,
Do you have any questions for us? We like to give the opportunity.
Going to be lunch. I'm hungry.
To our guests.
Nope.
No, I have a Nature Valley bar.
I guess.
Fine. I got to go work on Hispanic Heritage Month now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Living la vida loca.
Come on.
Living la vida loca.
She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain.
Living la vida loca.
Her crazy life, but she's going away.
Boys. This is probably the worst segment you've ever done. Bigs Paporub.